Welcome back to Psukei Daf. We are learning Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, and we're going to be focusing on this Daf. It has 9 Psukim in total, and we're going to be focusing on the Pasuk or the Psukim which are found in Amos Perek Ches. The Psukim read as follows. We're going to be reading Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Hinei Yomim Vo'im Nu'um Hashem. Behold, there are days which are coming, says Hashem. V'yishlachti Ra'ov Ba'aretz, and I'm going to send a famine in the land. Lo'i Ra'ov La'lechem, it is not a famine for bread. And it won't be thirst for water, but rather to hear the words of Hashem. And if we stopped over here, this would be a very romantic and beautiful song, which it is. Rav Kalibach has a song just on this pasuk. However, it pays to read the next pasuk to appreciate how severe this prophecy really is. And that's pasuk Yud Beis, where it reads, V'na'u miyom ad yom mitzafon v'ad mizrach, yishatutu levakesh es dvar Hashem v'lo yimso. People will look from north to south, to east to west, from sea to sea, and they'll not be able to find the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara over here is darshaning this because when the Chachamim arrived in Keren B'Yavne, it describes how there was this fear that Torah would be lost, and describes examples of how people would not know halacha around, people come to Bate Midrashios with questions and nobody would know the answers. And therefore, that's why it was so necessary to reestablish Torah. Just to appreciate the context of both of those moments, the moment in history that Amos is living in and the moment that it's being extrapolated to in Keren B'Yavne. So let's go back. Amos is a contemporary to Hosea. He lives around the time of the first Beis HaMikdash towards the end, just before the exile of the Northern Kingdom. And his primary audience, in fact, is the northern kingdom of Israel, a kingdom which has devolved terribly. It's really divorced and disconnected from the southern kingdom, where they would have the Beis HaMikdash. So these people do not have regular access to the Beis HaMikdash, do not have regular access to what is true and good. And thus there were prophets all the way through who would speak to the leaders and the people of the time. And Hosea was actually, as opposed to Hosea and Amos, both spoke to the same people. But Hosea talked about the passion, the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always being there. Amos is much, much more chilling. Amos describes the chilling facts of, if you're not going to listen, ultimately there could be a divorce. Very terrifying things. Nafla b'solis Yisrael lo seisuf kum is a famous passage from Amos, that you're going to fall and you won't be able to arise again. And the whole sefer essentially of Amos is a number of prophecies, except for one story which takes place. And that narrative takes place very briefly, where people see him on his soapbox, prophesizing in public, talking these truths that people don't really want to hear. And they say to him, you know what, Amos, you know, why don't you go down south? Go to the southern kingdom. And there, you know, maybe more people will be interested in hearing what you have to say there. Because, look, we're really, you know, prophet, we don't need your messages right here. You know, it's just, you're upsetting the public environment. You know, we have our beautiful lawns and our beautiful houses, and you keep coming and making a mess and talking about all these imperfections in society and God stuff. God stuff, it's not convenient. We have better things to be doing with our days. And maybe they'll pay for your lunch down there. The insinuation of the speech that Amos receives is that really, ultimately, the only reason you're in this, Amos, is because you're looking for a pulpit. You're looking for a soapbox. You want people to listen to you so you can pay your bills. Well, find another way to pay bills. Find another audience. They completely misunderstood. They missed the point that Amos is really trying to make, which is, I'm actually doing this for you, even though I receive abuse because of it. That is what Amos was saying. And therefore, Amos says chillingly, this is the point where he says, there's going to come a time where you're going to want prophecy, and you're going to be desperate to have prophecy, and you'll look everywhere, and you will not be able to find it. Hashem will not explicitly tell you what to do. You have to fumble around in the dark looking for prophecy. That's what's going to happen because you rejected prophecy when you had it. That's what Amos is responding to. Understand how the Gemara is transposing this. The Gemara is now moving from the end of the first Beis HaMikdash period, really essentially just before the exile of the Northern Kingdom, and is moving to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Because when was Keren B'Yavne established? It was established by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, none other, who lived through the destruction of the second temple. And one of the three conditions he made the requests he made of Vespezim in Gittin, Nunvav, is to actually save Yavne v'Chachomel. That became the bastion of the continuation of Torah despite the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And that's precisely what they're saying. They're saying that, you know what, in the same way that Amos talked about this day that was coming, and there was nothing to, it was necessary to preserve prophecy as long as possible, now it's necessary to preserve the Divrei Elokim Chaim. All that's left is we don't have the Navi anymore. All we have is the Chacham. Let's try to make sure that the Chacham as well is preserved. And that's why this pasuk specifically is relating to this period of crisis. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.